thank you for the good prayers this morning. I thank you and the Lord above for the song service this morning. I know I needed it and enjoyed it. I do appreciate the prayer and the thoughts in it. It's been on my mind somewhat to realize that I am just a tool for God's use. Amen. Corinthians chapter 3 says that he that watereth and he that planteth are the same, but it's God that gives the increase. I'm just the water pot that waters and the shovel that digs the hole, but if God's not in it, there'll be no increase. So I do pray the Lord be with us this morning. If you got your Bible with you, open to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 is where I want to start this morning. I want to, if the Lord be in it, to somewhat build on what I started last month. Last month I came to you trying to present to you what preaching is. And the humbling thought this side of the pulpit of what preaching is that is how God speaks to his people in these last days. How in sundry times and diverse manners God has spoke to his people, but in these last days he uses the preacher. And that's a scary thought, and it's an humbling thought, but it needs to be taught. The importance of the preaching. The importance of the gospel. The thought of that, do we really grasp it? And I don't want to get bogged down in what I did last month too much, but this is where we assemble to hear from God. If it's even possible, let that sink in for a minute. This is where we, God's people, assemble, desiring, and I hope you've been praying, as I taught you last month, for the miracle that is the preaching of God's gospel. And this is how God teaches us. This is how God speaks to us. I gave the example of Cornelius, that the angel had his attention, but God sent the preacher. And Paul, when Christ had his attention, but he sent the preacher. The importance of the preached word, and if the Lord stay with me, my end goal of this is to get to our personal faith. Because our faith must be personal. It must be my faith. It must be my belief. And I hope the Lord continues with me that I get to that end, because I truly want to get to it. Because in my youth, I've told you this before, I didn't have a choice of going to church when I was a kid. Okay? I grew up a preacher's kid. I didn't have a choice. If the doors were open, I was going to be there. It didn't matter what was going on. Baseball season, football season, it didn't matter. If the doors were open, I was here. And just as a moment of confession to kind of give y'all where I want to go with this and the end of it. I grew up in that life, and I feel like the majority of God's people, especially in his church, that's how we grow up. As kids, we're brought to church, and that's because mom and dad say so, and that's what we go off of, that's what we build off of. And then I graduated and I got married to my good wife that's put up with me far longer than I would have. But when we got married, because I lived my life dependent on my parents' faith, my church attendance and thereby my spirit went cold, because I depended on my parents' faith and not my own. That's my end game. That's where I want to get to. It's not going to be this morning probably, but that's where I want to get to. I want you to see the importance of the preaching. The importance of being here is about you. It's not about what mom and dad says. It's not about what grandma and grandpa say. It's not about tradition. It's not about what the preacher says. It's about this is how God speaks to you. That's important. And I want y'all to think about that as we look at this morning. It is in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. This is Paul admitting to the truth. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. As I tried to present to you last month, the miraculous thing that is preaching. It shouldn't baffle our minds that Christ associated it with it, that the blind receive their sight and the dead are raised from the grave and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. It shouldn't baffle our minds that that's likened unto a miracle, because this is preaching. As I stated and as was prayed, I'm only a tool. I can't do this. We've heard Brother Harold preach for 30 plus years in this church, and I thank God for it, but Brother Harold can't do this. We called Brother Gary as pastor, and he has accepted, and the Lord's placed him overseer over us, but Brother Gary can't do this. I can't do this. It's only by God that preaching can happen. Paul admits that I have been called as a minister. He defends that in every one of his epistles. I have been called. There were people that claimed that Paul wasn't it. There's no way Paul could be an apostle. We shouldn't listen to Paul. And people still say that today. We shouldn't listen to Paul, only what's written in the red. Well, Christ didn't write what was in the red. But people want to say we shouldn't listen to Paul. But Paul defends it. Paul knows it. He declares it. God called me to preach. Number one. When he says I've not been called to baptize, it doesn't mean baptism's of none effect and of not importance. He said that ain't the focus. The focus is God called me to preach. And what I want us to see this morning is God has called us as his people to listen. I must admit that God's called me to do this. And we as his congregation, we as his children, must admit we've been called to listen. When Dad called me into the living room with my full name, I was being beckoned on by my father to listen. And it behooved me to pay attention when he talked. Your father has called you to his living room this morning, and it behooves us to listen to what he says. That's the preaching. We have assembled this morning to hear from God, our Father, from heaven, the creator of the universe, the one that had the power to create all things, has called our names into his living room. Wrap your head around that.
That's right. Outstanding.
Preaching is important.
Amen. Yes.
Don't know how humbling that is on this side.
That's right. That's right.
Preaching is important. Paul admits, I've been called to preach. And we have been called to listen. And there is only one thing to be preached. And it's not thus saith the preacher. It's not happy, healthy, wealthy, and blessed. It's not anti-government. It's not public rant. It is only the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul says, I have been called to preach the gospel and nothing else. He admits that I wanted to know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified. He declares that that's what he wanted to preach to. That is all he wanted to preach, and it's the only thing that can be preached. I must admit, I've been called to preach the gospel. I, as a minister, as the one that 19 men of God that I know are men of God laid their hands on me and said that they see it and prayed for me, I must admit and accept and believe and receive that God has called me to preach. I'm not going to do it without doing it. We as his people must admit, accept, receive, and believe we've been called to listen. For the preaching to work. It's the only way it happens. But this morning, as I get further down the line, and wanting to get closer to what I want to get to, I want us to really and truly understand the gospel, because it is all that can be preached. It is the only thing to be preached. Nothing else is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I believe Matthew Henry kind of really, I won't quote one out of him today. When I told you last time, the reason that we preach the gospel, the reason that Paul preached the gospel is because that's what Christ preached. In Matthew chapter 4, it said Christ went about all Galilee, through the synagogues and throughout all Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. It's what Christ preached. It's what he called the men to preach. It's what he gave them to preach, and it's what must be preached. And Matthew Henry, I just love the quote from him on that, because he just lines it out. It says, we must first see what Christ preached the gospel of the kingdom that was now to come, that kingdom which shall survive and doth surpass all kingdoms of the earth. The gospel is the charter of that kingdom, containing the king's coronation oath by which he has graciously obliged himself to pardon, protect, and save his subjects of that kingdom. Wow. That's gospel. It is the charter of the kingdom. I tried to touch on this just briefly at Little Flock this last time, and I admitted to them, we want to get the little ones to understand. If I can get the little ones to understand, us older ones, we ought to be able to get our heads wrapped around it. I want y'all to understand what preaching is, what the gospel is. As he said, it's the charter of that kingdom. We've all watched the movie Cinderella, right? It's all right. He's listening. It's all right. We've all seen Cinderella. And the big scene when the king and the grand duke are fighting about how they're going to get me. Y'all pay attention, because the more I've thought about this, the better this example really is. When the king and the grand duke are fighting over how they're going to find the king's son a bride, he gives the grand duke, from the king's commandment, the authority to go about the kingdom and declare, "Find my son a bride." That's what the gospel ministry is. It's when the man of God, chosen by God, and given the authority of God, not to give his words, but what the king tells him to tell him. He was given the decree, all the fair maidens of the land come into the castle. He was given the decree of what he could tell. God has called men into the ministry and given them the decree of what he will have preached, and that is, come into the castle and marry my son. Wow. That's the gospel ministry. It's when the man of God listens to the king and goes about the kingdom declaring what the king wants the people to know. Amen. That's what we're assembled for this morning. And it's the gospel. So y'all look at it with me this morning. To some degree, it's terrifying to try to repeat something that I know people know. I know y'all know the gospel. We pray it. We sing about it. But I want us to look at the gospel this morning. I want y'all to see what it is God wants you to know. Open me to Romans chapter 5 as we start. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. To truly grasp why it is we're being told the kingdom is here, we got to understand why we need to know it. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And he formed all things, and he looked over all things and declared all things, including mankind, and declared them to be good. And he even went so far as to say very good. Exactly. In the beginning, Adam was in the kingdom of heaven. He was under the protection of the Father. He was under the care of the Father. He was in the kingdom. All things were good and very good. And Adam sinned. Adam willfully went against the decree, the charter of the kingdom. See, the charter carries with it a lot of things, including law. God hasn't changed. He's still a God of law. He is still a righteous God. When God laid out law, Christ didn't do away with them. They're none effect. He just stated them. God is a God of law. The kingdom is a God of law. Adam sinned. And by Adam's sin, all men fell.
That's right.
And were exiled from that kingdom. Separated from that kingdom. He died. Scripture tells me he lived for hundreds of years after the day he bit. But on that day, in that moment, at that very second, his spirit and soul died and were separated from God irrevocably this side of God's own power. And we're told right here by Romans that as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and it went upon all men. Because we were born of Adam, we were born separated from God. In conception, we are separated from God. Totally separated, totally alienated, cannot and would not go to Him. Not only in this kingdom that we were separated into, in the kingdom of darkness, separated, not only are we unable to get out of it, we didn't want out of it. We're told here in Romans 5, we were enemies with God. That's not that He hated us. We hated Him. God's always loved us. His people. We were enemies with God. We wanted no part of Him. We didn't want out of the kingdom. We were separated completely and totally. That's the condition of man. That's the condition that every one of us deserves. That's the condition every one of us have earned. I've told y'all, I would love nothing more but to blame Adam for my deserving of hell, but I know the life I've led. I know the decisions I've made. I know the things that I've done. I deserve it. No questions asked. It's what every one of us have earned. It's what every one of us deserve. And that was eternal separation from God. Y'all get that? Let me tell you the gospel. Now that you know where you are, outside of the kingdom, looking up at the castle, wanting nothing to do with it. Now you're outside the kingdom. Let me tell you the gospel. Let me tell you what God said that we have the authority to tell you this morning. Verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Adam sinned for us all. And to quote Dad, you didn't ask Adam to be your personal sinner. He did it for you. You didn't ask. He didn't ask you if you wanted Him to either. As by one, judgment came upon all men unto condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. By the righteousness of one, by the righteousness of one. And just like Adam, who didn't ask your permission to sin for you, that didn't wait for you to ask for Him to do that for you, Christ didn't ask you and He didn't ask if you wanted Him to, and you don't have to ask Him to, by His righteousness, all of His people are made just.
Amen.
This is the decree from God. This is the decree from the King. Go about My kingdom and tell them. By My Son, they are made just.
Amen.
Me to Romans. Oh, we're still in Romans 5 to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's all good news. You know, since I mentioned that, most people, when you ask them what the gospel is, that's what they'll tell you. If you boil the gospel down, if you go back to the Greek, you go back to just definitions, gospel means good news. I'm going to tell you, if you're studying this and considering this and looking into this, if you settle for good news when you think of the gospel, you're selling it short. When I show up to work on Friday, it's good news that it's Friday and it's payday. That's good news. It's good news when there's a fresh tub of ice cream in the freezer, ain't there, Brother? That's good news. But when you realize that you deserve nothing but hellfire and damnation, separation from God for your eternal life, and somebody comes to you and tells you that that's been taken care of, that's far more than good news. I can relate to the angels when they declared it the night he was born, and they hung in the heavens, and the shepherds came to him, and the angels declared unto them glad tidings of great joy.
Absolutely.
The child is born.
Yes.
That's far more than just good news. It's the gospel.
Amen.
Whew, too big of a rabbit there. 2 Corinthians 5. That's what I want y'all to see this morning. And 21, as by one man, for he, this one man, for he hath made him to be sin for us. God made that one man. He made him to be. I'll never forget this. Brother Gary's got the finger in the red letter about the 12 apostles. He'll never forget. I'll never forget the phone call the day after I tried to tell you that Christ became sin for us. I'll never forget that phone call from my dad. Christ never became sin for you. He lined me up pretty quick on that. Jesus Christ did not become sin. He did not partake in sin and become sin for you. Christ was made to be sin for you. He was made to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made. I want y'all to get that. He was made to be sin for us that we might be made. There was only one way that we could be made right. There is only one way. And it was not turtle doves and rams and bullocks and sheep and blood pouring out of the tabernacle all day, every day, for years and generations, did not put away a single sin. There is only one way we got made right with God. And the only way it could happen was that His Son was made to be sin for us. There's a song going around right about that's real popular, "Would You Take the Nails from His Hands?" And I get the sentiment of it. It breaks my heart to know what Christ went through for me.
Yes. Yes.
I get the sentiment of it. I would love to take the nails and not put Him through. But if I was to take the nails from His hands, I'd be condemning every one of us back to what we deserve. The only way we go to heaven is that Jesus Christ was made to be sin for us. It was only by the blood of the Lamb, not all those others. The sacrificial Lamb, the one, the substitutionary Ram, the one that He will present Himself a Lamb. Only that sacrifice could get it done. Jesus Christ was made to be sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God. He stripped my sins, took them from me, that I deserved, that I took part in willfully and enjoyed the moment of doing it.
Yes.
And He took that from us. And He placed that on His Son that had done nothing wrong. He had done no wrong, no wrong thoughts, no wrong actions, the perfect Lamb was willing to take that and to have His righteousness. If you want to look at it like that, His righteousness that He deserved, that He had earned. He lived that perfect life and He was willing to have that stripped from Him so that it could be placed on us. So that it could be placed onto His children. Y'all get the love of God. For God so loved the world, He gave His Son. He loved us enough, He did something about it. He gave us His righteousness. See, that's why Dad called me. I said Christ became sin and we became the righteousness. No, no, no. Christ Christ was made to be sin for us, and we were made the righteousness of God. You have no part in being made something. There's a lot of food back there that was made to be what it is this morning. It had no part in it. It's kind of a silly mark, but if I can get the kids to understand it, we should better wrap our heads around it. We were made to be the righteousness of God. I had no part in that. I didn't ask for it. I'm still outside the castle, don't even know what's going on. I'm those that were on the other side of the world. It said the world went dark those 3 hours. I'm that group that was on the other side of the world. Don't even know why it's dark right now. Because God's taking care of it. I don't even know what's going on. That's how involved I was in what Christ did for me. I didn't even know what was going on. I was born separated from Him. We were all born and separated. Had no knowledge of this. That's what the gospel's for. It's to tell you what Christ did. He was made to be sin for you so that you could be made. It's the only way you could be made right. And He did it. He accomplished it. Go with me to Colossians chapter 1. And I know I'm bouncing around. Y'all just bear with me on it. Y'all to see the results of what Jesus Christ did for us. I want us to truly think about it this morning. Colossians 1, verse 13 and 14. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Y'all think about that. He has delivered us out of that kingdom of darkness. That's done. He has translated us. That's an important word put in there. Has translated us. When they wanted this word to be put over into the English and God took care of it and helped them through it, they didn't take the Greek and write it back down on the paper and wait for it to become English. No, they translated it. It was changed by an outside power. Y'all think about that. It's important to every word that's in Scripture. You were translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. You didn't enter it the same as you used to be. When you're born again, you are not left the same and waiting to improve. When you are born again, you are changed. Irrevocably, you are changed. You are no longer the same. You are delivered out of that kingdom of darkness. When He went on the cross, He took care of the problem. Many times in my life, I just deal with what's going on. Christ didn't just deal with our sin. God didn't just, oh, well, it's okay. They didn't mean to. It'll be all right. I know they had good intentions. No, God doesn't overlook our sin. He destroyed what separated us from Him. He didn't just deal with our sin. He destroyed it. It died on that cross. Y'all get that? Our sin died on that cross. It paid the wage that it earned on that cross. That separated us. This is what the man of God gets to go about the kingdom telling people. That separated you. That wall that kept you out of the castle. It's been destroyed. It's no longer there. Why are you still standing out here? You've been invited. Come to the ball. The separation is no more. It's destroyed. Why are you standing out here? Don't you know you've been made a citizen of that place? That's the gospel. We have redemption. I love redemption. I ain't got long enough to go through all of everything I love about redemption, but you can't redeem what's not already yours. We were redeemed. We have redemption through His blood. That's even the forgiveness of sins. That's important.
Yes.
Skip over to verse 22. I want you to see the condition that you were left in regeneration. The condition you were made to be in verse 22. In the body of His flesh, through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. I'm telling you, you don't get better than that. That's the condition that you were made to be in that translation. You were totally separated. You were totally at blame. You were nothing but shame. You know, that's what unreprovable means. You can't even be shamed with your sin. You were nothing but shame for your sin. You were nothing but to blame with your sin. You were completely unholy in your sin. And through the finished works of Jesus Christ, you are holy. That is righteous. That is just. And a holy, righteous judge cannot call you just unless you are.
That's exactly right.
You are holy, righteous, just. You are unreprovable. You can't even be shamed for your sin. Unblameable. The blame for your sin. that one stretches all kinds of different directions. Unblameable. You can't be blamed for your sin, and you can't be blamed for your being made right. It's not your fault you're right. Any more than it was your fault that you were wrong. Y'all think about that. You are unblameable, unreprovable, holy. That is what is inside of you. Is a child of God that is holy, righteous, just, unblameable, unreprovable. We're told in the book of John, those little Johns, that it cannot sin. That's the condition your whole being will be when you get to heaven. Boy, I look forward to that. Yes, sir, not there yet, but I sure look forward to it. I don't have to fight to want to serve God. I don't have to fight to not sin. All over we won't be able to sin because our body will be holy, unblameable, and unreprovable. That's the condition your spirit's already in. Why are you standing outside the walls? You've been made a citizen of this house. You've been made a citizen of this kingdom. You are no longer under the power of darkness. You've been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. That's why it said Christ went about the synagogues and throughout all Galilee preaching the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom. This is the kingdom of heaven that stands. It's the kingdom of heaven that we are in. It's what it talks about in 2 Timothy. You don't have to turn there. I'll just go there real quick. It says in chapter 1, verse 9, "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." Threw that one in there just for a bonus. It's verse 10, I won't. "But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." The gospel tells us more than just you're going home to heaven. As I tried to teach you a few times back, if you're waiting on heaven to enjoy eternal life, you are wasting eternal life. The gospel is that shines the light on the immortality that is coming to you. But even better than that, it is the light that shines the life you have right now. He went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom, the charter of the kingdom that surpasses all the kingdoms of this earth, the kingdom that will stand and does stand. The kingdom of heaven that Christ says is at hand. That's not some kingdom that you're waiting millennia for. When Christ said the kingdom of heaven is at hand, that's at hand.
Exactly.
It's right there. You're standing outside the walls that are non-existent anymore. The kingdom of heaven is now. It is the kingdom of grace and mercy. It's a kingdom of protection and blessing. It's a kingdom of feasts. The preached word is what we feed off of. The word of God is what we feed off of. It's why, I'm not going to outrun myself, but it's why I waxed cold when I got out of my parents' house, because I got away from those feasts. It's a kingdom of feasts. It's a kingdom where moth cannot destroy and thief cannot steal. This is the kingdom that stands. A kingdom you've been made a citizen of. Thief can't steal it away from you. The world can't touch it. The moth can't destroy it. What's a moth attack? That gets put up in the closet and forgot about. God help us. I'm living proof of that. I lived over putting mine up in a closet for far too long. But it was just as good the day I got it out and started living it again as the day I put it up. Moth can't destroy it. Thief can't steal it. It's a kingdom that's under constant attack. Reading Scripture. This kingdom's under constant attack. Being in the kingdom does not remove us from the storms. It tells us this kingdom's under attack of the same storm that everybody else is under. Every kingdom will go through the fire. Satan's under it. He's attacking it left and right. But it's a kingdom that will never fall. It's a kingdom that we're told if we're in it, we will stand. If we stand in it. It's a kingdom that will never fail. It'll never fall. It's a kingdom without end. It's a kingdom of family and friends. I've had a lot of family inside the church. I'm not blood related to, but they're family. We're brothers and sisters. In Christ, we are brothers and sisters. This is a kingdom of family. It's a kingdom of friends that'll do more for you than this world ever could. It's a kingdom that stands. It's a kingdom with hope that surpasses understanding. It's a kingdom of joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's a kingdom where we can do far more than we could ever ask or think. It's a kingdom of His power and not mine. It's a kingdom that's far above this earth because it's not of this earth. It's of God and nothing else. It's the kingdom of God. It's the kingdom that's here. It's the kingdom that is now. Go back with me to 2 Corinthians. This is the kingdom that is now. That is what God has given us the authority to go about the kingdom and declare the gospel. That removed you and that kept you out has been destroyed. This kingdom stands. This kingdom is now. The kingdom is here. Go ahead. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to go start in verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You're not the same as you once were. You are not. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. He reconciled us all the way back to God. He didn't leave us halfway. When He says He's delivered us, I want even the little ones to understand. When you order a pizza and order delivery, do they leave it halfway at your house or do they bring it all the way to you? You can't deliver something and leave it halfway there. He delivered you all the way back to God. He got it done. It it was 30 minutes or less. It is right now. When he said it's finished, it's done. You were home. You were delivered all the way. You were reconciled all the way. Nothing left. You were all the way back to God. He had reconciled you unto God, to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Who did he impute the trespasses to? He imputed them to God, to Christ, not to us. He imputed our sins to Christ. And hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. He has given to us. And while only the preacher can preach it, I'm going to tell you, every one of us are an ambassador for Christ. Only the preacher, only by God's power can the preacher successfully preach the gospel. But every one of us have been made an ambassador for Christ. That more than good news, that glad tidings of great joy, that the wall has been destroyed, the ball is tonight, you've been invited, get into the castle. That word of reconciliation, how was it that Cinderella found out? Was it by the man out there, or was it by her wicked stepsisters? We've all been made ambassadors. Parents, you are the ambassador to your children. Children, you are the ambassador to your friends. You are the ambassador in your workplace. You are the ambassador in this world. You are the ambassador in this city. If you want people to know what Christ did for them, you got to tell them. We have all been given this word of reconciliation. We are to go about and tell them that they have been reconciled. This far greater than good news is given to us for us all to tell the people, be ye reconciled to God. Though you're already reconciled, now you need to be reconciled. And I don't have nowhere near the time to get into that, so that's next month. That's what I want to get to next month. Be ye reconciled, though you are reconciled. Y'all think about that. You are made at peace with God. Now be at peace with God. Thank you all. God bless.